You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. As the use of cold hard cash has declined in the U.S. over the years, some businesses have gone cashless, only accepting credit cards or other forms of digital payment. A new bill in the Wisconsin legislature wants to change that and require businesses to accept cash as a form of payment on most transactions under $2,000. Republican Representative Michael Schrah of Oshkosh is the lead author of the bill and presented it this week to an assembly committee.
The statement, "This note is legal tender for all debts, public and private," is found on every single piece of paper currency in circulation, and yet there is no federal requirement to accept that currency during a transaction. Over the last couple of years, numerous businesses have made the change to not accept cash payments. While it is convenient to just use your card and be done with the transaction in seconds, this mandate can be overly burdensome to pay for necessities. It leaves out individuals who are unwilling or unable to use cashless payments.
Similar laws have passed in other states and in some cases cities around the country. Today we're finding out more about that bill and how cash and cashless transactions affect different businesses and consumers. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want businesses in Wisconsin to be required to accept cash? Why or why not? And what is your preference? Do you try to use cash whenever possible? Do you try to use something other than cash whenever possible? If you're a business owner yourself, we'd love to hear from you about the best way to get paid. Join in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Anya Van Wagtendonk is a Capitol reporter for WPR. I talked to her earlier today. Anya, give us the outlines. What would this bill do if ultimately passed?
Basically, no retail establishment could refuse to accept cash for purchases under $2,000. So you've probably been to like a new coffee shop that only takes cards or Apple Pay or whatever. So those types of cashless establishments would be more or less outlawed, and businesses would be subject to fines up to $5,000 if they refuse to take cash.
What is the argument behind the bill from the sponsors of the legislation?
Yeah, there are a few different arguments for these types of proposals, but Representative Schrah's main explanation was that it takes away consumer choice. So he thinks that customers should get to decide how they pay for goods and services. He also thinks that moving away from cash is sort of like a gimme to credit card companies. And so there's also a bit of an argument for being aware of personal finances, that kind of forcing that move to rely on things like credit cards could encourage more irresponsible spending behavior. There's also an argument that these types of requirements, or going cashless rather, disenfranchises particular groups who don't have access to banks or credit cards. So that could be people who don't use those institutions for religious or ideological reasons, but also lower income people are just less likely to have access to banks. Some people can't afford to maintain a bank account. And so some people say that, you know, cashless really kind of disenfranchises those people from being able to access those types of businesses.
There was an assembly committee hearing. Did we hear any kind of pushback there? If so, what were the counter arguments?
Yeah, it's interesting. So there's, you know, kind of a pro-business argument on both sides of this issue. There are several small business owners on that committee. And so some of them were focused on sort of the rights of business owners to make choices about how to conduct their own businesses. And so, you know, some small businesses especially say that going to only card or only mobile payments, it can cut down on labor costs or time spent at the counter, sort of just generally streamline the retail process. And so some businesses prefer that. And so some lawmakers say business owners should have the right to decide how to set up their own businesses.
The lead sponsor is a Republican. Are we seeing any kind of bipartisan support for this anti-cashless bill?
Yeah, two Milwaukee Democrats are signed on. I haven't spoken to them directly, but I think that shows sort of the interesting unification that can happen on issues like this. Milwaukee, up until recently, actually had a fairly high rate of unbanked people. And so I could see that being an issue that could, you know, disproportionately affect some lower income residents of Milwaukee, sort of compared to the rest of the state. And also, when you look at other places that have passed these kinds of bills. Notably, that's New York, Washington, D.C., and Philly. So those are big Democratic strongholds. And so I think that gives an interesting sense, even though this is a GOP proposal, that it could, you know, get support from both parties.
A similar bill has been proposed in the past in Wisconsin, didn't end up going anywhere. It's always tough to tell at the outset whether something's going to fly through the legislature or just kind of go to a committee and then slowly disappear. Did you get any sense of momentum or timeline setting for this particular legislation?
No, you know, I don't have a sense of sort of timing or its odds. But I think, again, as we've discussed, there is this way in which disparate groups are kind of united on this issue and then also divided on the issue. So, for example, you know, groups who might support this type of bill might be advocates for lower income people who can't use banks. But then it also might be people, you know, more off the grid groups who don't use banks. Right. And so those particular groups might not always be on the same side of political issues, but they could be on this one. And then, as I mentioned, there's that kind of pro-business argument on either side, whether it's a consumer choice or a business operator choice argument, that could divide, I think, Republicans in particular. So unclear yet which of those arguments sort of wins the day and whether any one of them propels this bill to the floor. But I guess we will see in the new year.
Anya, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thanks for having me.
That's WPR Capitol reporter Anya Van Wagtendonk bringing us the latest on a bill in the state legislature that would require businesses to accept cash payments. Now we're taking a step back to talk more broadly about how we use cash and the role it plays in our economy and society. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts on the idea of a state law requiring businesses to accept cash, and let us know your habits, if you like to use cash or you don't. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Ursula Dollinghouse joins us now, assistant professor of anthropology at Ripon College. She researches economic anthropology and the anthropology of money. Ursula, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Before we get into the topic, how did you go from anthropology into studying specifically the anthropology of money?
Oh, great question. Well, to make a long story short, my dissertation research was looking at the introduction of the euro currency back when it was a new shared currency among many member states. And so I was very interested in what that experience might be to share a common currency across different nation states. So that led me to doing research with the German Central Bank and looking specifically at the role of cash as a medium of connecting people to central banks, but also to these kinds of really unprecedented projects. So that's kind of how I got started. But there's a long history of research on money and value in anthropology, often in non-Western societies, but also more recently in, you know, really all over the globe. So there's a lot of insights that one can gain cross-culturally on the use of money and cash particularly.
Hey, now there's talk sometimes that we're going to end up, you know, people are using cash less, we're going to end up as a cashless society. You've written in the past that, you don't see this being very likely. You see cash very likely to stick around. Why is that?
So I think there are two main reasons I would mention now. One is the experiential use of cash, its materiality, its qualities and affordances, to use a design term in terms of, you know, what having a physical token, if you will, that can be used, it's issued by a central authority, but yet it can be used outside of the purview of that central authority. And that's very unique to cash as legal tender. Obviously, I'm recognizing the caveats underlying that in terms of trusting monetary authorities, you know, having a stable economy. But that sort of brings me into the second reason, and that is that cash is actually the only form of public money. People may not realize that, you know, all electronic or digital money is essentially private money. And only cash is public money issued by the state or, you know, issued by central banks. And so there's a public dimension to that medium that's quite important. And so currently, central banks globally are committed to maintaining cash as a complementary form of payment to digital. There are more recently explorations into introducing a digital version of fiat. So that's a very interesting topic users can be aware of, or listeners can be aware of. In Europe, they're actually going forward with a project to experiment with this. In the US, the Fed has basically sort of said it doesn't see a reason to introduce it anytime soon. That can always change. But in short, cash is really central to connecting us to not only the state and central authorities, but its independence of that and how it's used also for non-monetary purposes means that it connects us deeply to others through social relationships, ritual practices, many other use cases for physical cash. So I think those are some of the key reasons I think it's around to stay, at least for some time.
We're talking to Ripon College anthropology professor Ursula Dollinghouse about cash and cashless transactions as a new bill in the state legislature aims to require businesses to accept cash payments. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you started using cash less often over time? Are you someone who doesn't carry cash at all, pays everything with credit card or one of the many new digital payment apps? Or does cash rule everything around you? Do you think businesses should be required to accept cash? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up next on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Ursula Dollinghouse, assistant professor of anthropology at Ripon College, who researches economic anthropology and the anthropology of money. She's with us today to talk about how businesses and consumers use cash, as lawmakers are proposing a bill that would require businesses in Wisconsin to accept cash for transactions, as some businesses don't right now. You could join in at 800-642-1234. As a consumer, do you prefer being able to pay in cash, or do you have money on you as little as possible? If you're on the business side of things, what are you seeing? And have you encountered cashless businesses much lately? Just a block apart were a couple bars. One only took money. One didn't take money at all. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Bruce is with us in Waterford. Bruce, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to bring up?
Well, your question that you keep asking is, should businesses be required to accept cash? And I don't feel like businesses should be required to accept cash. I like cash and enjoy using it, but I can always take my business elsewhere. In most cases, I think it would be foolish for a business not to accept cash. Some examples might be, you know, some kind of business, a hot dog stand or something that might be prone to being robbed. They might want to not have cash on hand, so that's not an issue. But, you know, for most of your, like, stores, I don't think that not taking cash would be a smart move. I mean, I don't know that I know anything about the subject, really, but that's just my first take on it.
Bruce, thanks a lot for sharing your take on that. And Ursula, he brings up a couple of interesting points. First of all, it sounds like Bruce is cool with using cash, doesn't necessarily like the idea of requiring businesses to take cash. What are your thoughts on this state legislation we were talking about? Should we mandate accepting cash?
Yeah, well, it's a really interesting question. I mean, I definitely empathize with the hot dog stand owner who might, you know, be constrained in terms of what payment options they could accept. So I think, you know, any legislation should, you know, make some accommodations for situations where it's simply impossible. It sounds like from the language on the bill, that there would be some exceptions there. It's not really fleshed out in the bill. But on the other hand, I think that having a general mandate could be important because what people may not realize is that in order to keep the cash system sustainable, it also has to be used. And so currently, you know, cash is heavily subsidized by the state, if you will. It also settles at face value without fees associated with it, at least for the consumer. But all forms of payment cost money. of course. And so I think having a mandate that allows people who really don't have an option other than cash to be able to access essential goods and be participants in collective life is really essential. But of course, there are always situations where someone may be more limited in terms of cash that they can accept. And of course, safety issues are certainly one of the reasons why businesses and organizations have moved away from cash. But I would also say that there are other types of risks associated with digital payments. So it might be worth sort of thinking about the pros and cons of all of the different options out there.
Bruce, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Irene joins us now in Phillips. Irene, hi.
Hi there. I have just a comment to make. My hair salon here in Phillips requests cash only because they would pay a fee. They would have to pay a fee for people using credit cards. And I can understand that completely. So I go to the bank before I visit the hairstyling salon. Thank you.
Irene, thanks a lot for sharing that. And I deal with businesses sometimes, the stores, Ursula, that take cash only for that reason, or restaurants that'll have that upcharge if you pay with credit. So do you get a sense that there are a lot of businesses just for sheer economic reasons might make the same decision as her salon does?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, I was just part of an international conference on the future of cash where this topic came up as well, that internationally, more businesses are offering, you know, an option to pay in cash that is, you know, a way to avoid the surcharge fees associated with credit card payments, but giving people really an incentive to use cash instead of digital in that case. And, you know, you see it around where I live too, in terms of there's a gas station that offers a 5% discount, I believe, if you pay in cash, because the surcharge fees and interchange fees associated with credit card payments are quite costly. There's been some debate about that recently as well. And so it sort of highlights the way in which cash actually is the only form of money not controlled by a private profit-driven entity. So we're kind of seeing the tension there around different channels of value and making payments and, you know, the costs associated with that. But I do believe that we're seeing more instances where businesses and entities are wanting to accept cash payments to kind of mitigate those fees.
Talking about cash and the possibility of cashless economies with Ursula Dollinghaus from Ripon College, anthropologist who studies money. And we'll go back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Bernadette is with us in Baraboo. Bernadette, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your story, Bernadette?
Yeah, I just, my husband and I own self-storage business and in Lake Dalton. And one of the things that we've run across through is the cash payments, and we do almost everything electronically. So we don't often meet with people at the facility. We do everything via email. And so what we've run into is there are people that need to pay with cash, and we understand that and try to be as accommodating as we can, but we don't want to meet everybody every time. Like, you have hundreds of renters. You don't want to have to arrange to meet with them. So one option we have found that we recommend is cashier's checks, where people can go to Walmart or Quick Trip for a very low fee and, you know, turn their cash into a cashier's check or money order and then pay with that, and that's a little safer. And then they could drop that in our Dropbox because we don't want to have cash in our Dropbox.
Fair enough. Bernadette, thanks a lot for the call. Again, Ursula, that non-cash option requires either access to a bank or you got to pay for it, whether it's the credit card fees or the fee to get that cashier's check. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a case where people do need to pay a fee in order to translate that cash into digital form in this particular business context. I guess the larger question we could ask as a society is, you know, at what point does the ability to make payments for things that we need to do in our lives have this added on cost that becomes prohibitive? And I worry in particular about not only unbanked, but underbanked people who, you know, are then sort of forced to pay more to use cash than, you know, others who have multiple different options for payment. So, you know, again, in particular situations, it's very understandable that, as I said, there's a cost to all payments, including cash. The question is, who's bearing that cost? And to what extent is, you know, payments more broadly a public good that should have some oversight in terms of, you know, what's acceptable, what's feasible for people to manage their lives?
Thanks again for that call. We just have a few moments left. Ursula, you were just at a big international conference. What are you watching for next in the story of money and cashless money?
So what I'm very curious about is, as I mentioned earlier, the European Central Bank is rolling out an experiment with digital fiat. And what's interesting about that is that, again, there's a commitment to maintaining a complementarity between physical cash and a digital version of it. However, the digital version has some other aspects to it that people should think about, namely that one can't be completely anonymous with a digital form of fiat, and that there might be limitations on how much one could hold in a digital fiat. And, you know, it would also be intermediated by commercial banks and other financial institutions. So what you're kind of seeing is, you know, to what extent can a complementarity be maintained between physical cash and a digital form of state-issued money? You know, the details of this are far off on the horizon, but I think they will be interesting to follow in the European case to see, like, what are the pragmatics of that scenario look like, and, you know, what new kind of considerations will there be for all of us globally.
That's Ursula Dollinghaus from Ripon College talking about money.